The United States has been in a cultural transition since the 1960s. The rebels of that decade became the tenured professors of the 1980s and have helped transform America into a nation that is barely recognizable. The greatest generation, our World War II veterans and their spouses, are quickly passing from the scene. The current generation of young people will not and cannot lead this nation into a new revival of freedom and liberty if they continue on the same path that they're on. What should Americans do who love liberty and freedom? What should Christians do who understand that liberties and freedoms are derived directly from the Christian faith? There appears to be both a need and an opportunity to begin teaching basic individual and family defense principles within the church and within our greater communities. That's the topic today with my friend Shan from Works LLC in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us on Global Star Radio Network Saturdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Talk America Radio, Worldview Weekend Radio, Prepper Broadcasting Network, The Fringe Radio Network, On the Objective, a bunch of others that I'm not thinking of right now, and I apologize for that. And of course, SoaringEagleRadio.com. I am very, very pleased to be talking with my good friend, Shan Hemphill. He's the owner of Works LLC, a custom holster and magazine holder manufacturer. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Shan.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Pastor Mike. It is a pleasure to speak with you, and I feel like you've been my constant companion as I've continued to listen to all your episodes. Quite an encouragement.
Well, thank you, Shan. That's an encouragement to me when I hear from folks, and most of the time I hear from folks, and I respond back, and that's it for, you know, a time or two. We exchange emails once or twice, but Shan, you've been a constant encourager to me, and so I want to thank you, and our conversation today is a result of you and I keeping in touch and exchanging encouragements and prayers, and so thanks for joining me today. And as I mentioned earlier, you own a company that is you call Works, WERKZ, and it is a custom holder, custom pistol holder, weapons holder manufacturer. And folks, just so you know, I've got several of Shan's creations in my own collection. And in fact, my favorite one is a inside the waistband concealed carry holster. Shan was kind enough to make for me. So great products. And then let me just get this out of the way first, Shan. It's works.com, right?
That is correct. W-E-R-K-Z is the zebra.com.
.com. So go there, folks, if you're looking for concealed carry holsters, for magazine holders, and Shan will hook you up. So, Shan, one of the things that that you're really keen on as a business owner is making sure that people know how to properly carry their weapons. And that really is important, isn't it, when it comes time to selecting what kind of a holster they're going to use?
Well, absolutely, because there's a number of different ways to carry a pistol on your body, and then there's a number of different pistols and pistol sizes and ways you can outfit a pistol. There's a number of different body types out there, and I think it's important for people to select something that at least has a reasonable chance of being the product that they would want to use frequently, or in my hope would be for a lot of people, carry every day.
Yes. Yeah, well, and that's something, that's a hot topic right now, in fact, all across America is weapons and guns and all of the heated exchanges going on. I think one of the things that we need to do as Americans is that we need to tap the brakes a little bit and take a couple of steps back from the heated rhetoric. And I know I'm just as prone as many others to rather forcefully defend our rights to bear arms. Obviously, you feel the same way as a holster manufacturer and a gun advocate. But it is important that people understand if you're going to carry, then you know how to use the weapon. That's one of the first things that I would say. And Shan, you can take it from here. But shouldn't people practice and practice and practice some more with their weapon if they're going to carry it around with them daily?
I think that a lot of people, and I was talking with someone about this just the other day, a lot of people mistakenly pick their pistol just by going into the gun store and not thinking through what it is that they would actually enjoy shooting and training with on a frequent basis. So my personal litmus test is I will not actually carry a pistol that I would not be comfortable putting 2,000 or 3,000 rounds through. Many of these micro pistols that people pick up, they are not willing to put a lot of rounds through because they're quite uncomfortable to shoot. So there's a lot of great pistols on the market today, and I wouldn't shy anyone away from any of them, but I would just encourage people to think about, okay, maybe I could go shoot this pistol, maybe go put a box of ammo through it before I buy it. Maybe I have an indoor gun range where I can do rentals or these sorts of things. So I would encourage people, hey, if you're going to buy a pistol and you're going to carry it, absolutely you should train with that pistol. You need to be familiar with it. You need to be familiar with how to do reloads, how to manipulate the trigger, how to hold the pistol, how to line up your sights, all these things, and they require repetition.
Yes, yeah, absolutely right. And that's so that's some good information for people to consider if they're listening and they're thinking about purchasing a sidearm, a concealed carry weapon. And I also want to encourage folks, listen, if you're going to do that, then by all means, take advantage of any safety courses that are in your area. And if you're going to concealed carry, make sure you're licensed to do that. Don't be a cowboy. Don't just start carrying around a gun because you think you can or you should. Make sure that you go through the proper process of being licensed to do that. And so let's talk about, Shan, some of the products. I just mentioned a couple. Holsters and mag holders, but there's a lot of other products that you offer at Works.
Well, yes, and the main core of our products are holsters and magazine carriers, and that's really what we do well. And so we've got a set of custom products where we have some 211 currently different pistol models that people can choose from, and some 71 different lights and lasers that they can choose from, and they can combine those things along with custom options around how they want to carry that holster or what, how they want to carry that pistol, whether it's outside the waistband or inside the waistband, along with being able to choose the colors and patterns of Kydex. So that's our core of our custom business, which is a great way for somebody to get a quality holster in a configuration that other people may not be able to provide. So we get a lot of people coming to us that just can't find a holster for their pistol or pistol and light and laser combination anywhere else.
Yeah.
So that's our custom business, and that does great. And then in addition, we've got our quick ship business, which is the exciting part of my business, where what we do is we actually take 3D scans of pistols with different lights and lasers on them or without lights and lasers on them, and we pull that into a process where we, on the computer, iron out every aspect of the holster, and then we go ahead and cut molds for that on the CNC machine. And that's a lot of fun for me because I get to get all the way down into the details of how these holsters are made.
Yeah.
And control the manufacturing process in a very precise way, which is awesome.
Yes, absolutely. So Shan, how did you get started in this business? I mean, what's the story there? I'm sure that our listeners are wondering, well, what led you to get involved and start this business? Because this is a specialized kind of business, these custom Kydex and other material holsters. So what's the story there?
Yeah, so Kydex has been around in the industry for the last 10 or 15 years, and it's a very similar material to what a lot of automotive and bus industry use in dashboards. It's just a thermoformed plastic. So a number of years ago, in 2011, I had this pistol, and it was a fairly specialized pistol. It was a double stack 1911, and it was built by a custom gun builder. And I wanted a holster for that, and I just didn't want to wait for the industry leader to get me a holster. It would have been some 12 to 16 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And cost me a lot of money. And in retrospect, now I know that it actually, what I would have bought from them wouldn't have fit. So I bought all the materials, I bought the tools, and I figured out how to build it myself. And before long, I had friends asking me to build them a holster, and then before long after that, I actually got picked up by a local gun store in Colorado. And so it just kind of grew and took off from there.
Yeah. So you started in Colorado, but you're in Idaho now. So how did that happen?
Well, that's almost a story of testimony. This is my wife and I had been in Colorado opportunistically, and we loved it and loved the people there, but we were a little far away from family. And so my wife and I started talking, praying about where did we want to spend the rest of our lives? Where did we want to live on purpose for the rest of our lives? And with a lot of thought and prayer, we started narrowing it down to northern Idaho. And one of the things that was going on at the time was Colorado's legislature had passed this magazine ban where the standard capacity magazines were outlawed, and a bunch of stuff was going on there. It actually made me very disillusioned because I tried to be very active in providing feedback to these legislators, and they completely ignored it, which no real surprise in retrospect. But that kind of helped push us out of Colorado as well. But through a number of things, like Lord opened up the door on buying this exact piece of property that we fell in love with. So many things that had to happen that I know that where we live is only because God ordained this piece of property for us. He set it aside for us.
Yeah.
So we ended up in northern Idaho. It's been a blessing, and the community here is wonderful, and we're able to integrate here, and it is one of the freer states to live in, especially with regards to firearms laws.
Yes. Well, and you are a believer. You're a brother in the faith, and that's something that you're very out front about, and in fact, you even talk about that as a Christian, and that influences how you conduct your business as a believer. Christ plays a big role in that, doesn't he?
Absolutely. It's we want to be able to serve our customers, right? I mean, if we can't serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as everybody else, and be a cheerful reminder that that God is doing great things, then I don't, you know, it's just part of our business. It's part of how we treat our employees.
Yeah.
Part of how we want to treat our customers. And if we can't, if people can't see the love of Christ reflected in us, then I think we're failing at what we're doing. So, you know, if you email me, typically you're going to get a cheerful response. And you know, I wish blessings on all of our customers and all those that we interact with.
Yes, and I can attest to that. If you email Shan, he's going to respond, and he'll do so rather quickly. I was impressed by that. Well, let's talk a little bit about politics and the climate in our nation right now concerning weapons, and I don't want to paint this in a negative light, because I see great opportunity here, Shan, to really educate people on our constitutional republic and why we have the Constitution, why we have the Bill of Rights, and why we need to stand up and remind our legislatures, wherever they're at, it doesn't matter, in whatever state we're in, all of them have an obligation to not just listen to their constituents, but to act on behalf of their constituents. And that's something that has been sorely lacking in the last several decades, whether it's at the state level or the federal level. Would you agree with that, Chan?
I think it has been sorely lacking, because I think government has lost, and the people have lost, a theory of what government is supposed to do.
Yes.
Which government is supposed to protect our rights and actually protect the minority rights, because the majority doesn't need protection. So their job is to protect our rights. And you're right, the Bill of Rights, there was great debate about whether the Bill of Rights should even be in there, because the founders thought, well, all these things are self-evident. The
yes.
people and the states are where the rights reside.
Yes.
And so they weren't even sure that they should put it in, because they thought, well, gee, this is going to be too restrictive. They wanted to say, and actually the 10th Amendment said, although the 10th Amendment in many ways is been killed, that these rights are actually the people's. And if you look at the Declaration, it really talks about how our Creator is the one who is the source of our rights. And government is just a collection of men's rights together to try to protect the rights of people.
Yep, that's a good way to put it. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I know that you've said this before, Shan, I've said it before to people, and many folks far more intelligent and sharper on this than I am, have made this observation and keep pressing this point. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights were created to limit our government, to limit the reach of the federal government, and it is not, as many presume today, that these are rights that the federal government allows us to have, and they can at any time take those rights away. The phrase you used was self-evident. That phrase was primary among the founding fathers, and they reminded each other that our rights come from God, not from a government. The government is supposed to be the servant of the people.
Absolutely, and you can also think about that with regards to gun rights or self-protection rights, which are government can say that you don't have a right, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't have the rights. There's a couple of parts to rights. One is that you actually have to exercise your rights, and if people just allow government to say, yes, we're going to take this right from you people, and the people say, well, I guess that's okay, then government's going to say, hey, I guess we've got the ability to just take their rights. But it is rightfully the people's right, whether or not it is that you can do it.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So one of the things that I'm especially keen about today, Shan, is church security. And so anyone that's listening, you happen to pastor a church, or you're an elder of a church, or you're on the church board, or serve in any type of ministry when the church, or not. Maybe you just attend a local fellowship. I would make an inquiry to your church leadership as to whether or not they have a church security policy. Is there an active shooter policy that the church leadership has formulated and discussed and maybe had it reviewed by some law enforcement folks as to whether or not it covers all of the things that are needed? But how important, in your opinion, Shan, is it for churches to begin having security policies and even active shooter policies?
Well, I think it's quite important. Anywhere where there's people gathered, you should have an idea how there might be security. For instance, you know, actually, we should even think about it in our home.
Yeah.
You should have a plan. We should have a plan in our homes. We should have a plan in our churches. And I'm not an expert. I don't have a combat expert. But I do think it's important for our churches to at least comprehend, how do we manage security? Do we have the children in an area that's not controlled access? Do we have a plan if things happen? Do we have greeters with responsibility to identify potential threats? And you know, active shooter is one extreme, and I've talked to friends and family members about active shooter, but it is far less likely than finding someone to come in that might actually, there might be a child custody dispute or something of that order, where maybe deadly force isn't necessary, or even that you might just need somebody with good skills to talk somebody down or to maybe help control their access.
Yeah, that's
but at the extreme end, you for sure should have somebody. There should be one or two people at least that are designated, okay, yes, the church knows that these people are armed and that they can, that their job is to defend the rest of the congregation should something happen.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. Shan. It doesn't always come down to the need for deadly force. Sometimes you just need trained individuals that can really relieve a very high and tense situation. Now, I just want to say, for the sake of our listeners, that we do have an active shooter policy in place at the fellowship that I pastor. If you would like to receive a copy of that for your own review and maybe modify it or revise it however you would need for your own fellowship, then just you can ask for that through the contact form, contact page on the website, SoaringEagleRadio.com, or you can email me, PastorMike@CCLOhio.org. Again, PastorMike@CCLOhio.org. I'd be happy to send that to you. And then I would recommend, Shannon, this is something that we did some time ago now. We had a concealed carry class, a certified instructor that came in on a Saturday to the church. We had people sign up, family members signed up. We had a good number of people that went through that course and received a certification and their concealed carry permit for Ohio. And what we also did then, we took it a step farther. We brought in a brother who was a former county sheriff of the county I live in for 16 years. He came in and taught an all-afternoon session on home defense, on safely handling weapons, on how to check your home and make sure that things are in order, you know, do all of those things necessary to keep you and your family safe. So I think that speaks to what you were going to talk about a little bit, Shan, was personal security for ourselves as individuals, for our families, for our homes. In this day and age, I think it's very, very important that we pay attention to personal security. Are there any pointers you'd like to give to our listeners on that subject?
Oh, absolutely. I think you want to talk about the political environment that we're in. We so many comments about, gee, you can't have somebody in this position, insert whatever you want, have to worry about self-protection. And my thought is, no, we should all be responsible for our own self-protection. If we don't require individuals to be responsible for their own self-protection, then who is? Do we give that over to government? Does that mean that, you know, it's somebody else's responsibility to protect us at all times? So, yes, we should all be responsible for our own self-protection. And that, I think that starts, again, you know, whether you're armed or not, it starts with awareness. Get your head up out of your phone. When you get out of the car, look around. When you walk out of a building, look around. Be aware of your surroundings. Identify potential threats. Identify areas where potential threats could come from. And not walk around paranoid. Not walk around afraid the boogeyman's going to be around every corner. But be aware that there might be threats out there in this world. We know threats out there in this world. And if you identify them, you might be able to take action to keep yourself out of a problem. And, you know, there's this old saying, the best fight is the one that you're not in.
Yeah.
You get into a gunfight or a knife fight or a deadly force encounter, and somebody is very likely to get hurt, and it very well could be you. If you're armed and you're in a fight, it is now a gunfight because you brought the gun to the fight. And I actually think that if you are an armed citizen, which I applaud, I think people should be armed if they so choose and are willing to train. But if you are an armed individual, you also have a responsibility to stay out of the fights that can co- instance, a bar fight or a roadside rage incident or something else. It is your responsibility now that you've got an increased level of tools available that you actually need to stay even more away from using those tools. So you've got a higher level of responsibility to de-escalate a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so while we're talking about security, personal security, and awareness, I'm looking at an article that you wrote, Shan, and I think it would be a good article to point people to on your blog, and it's about electronic privacy and security. Someone is watching you, and they know what you say, where you go, and what you're thinking. So let's chat about that a little bit, because it's so true, and people don't even think about it today, do they?
They don't, and this is a personal journey of mine, just trying to see how much I can stay a little more private. Yes, the article that you're referring to is in response to a YouTube video that's out there where one of the news channels, I think it's in D.C., took a couple of cell phones, one of which was in airplane mode, and went around to a number of places, some of which they might consider private sort of places. So, for instance, going to a children's hospital or going to a government building. And they found out that as soon as they turned that phone back on, it transferred all the information about what they were doing back to, in this case, Google, because they were Android phones.
Wow.
Now, Apple isn't quite as upfront. Well, both Apple and Google haven't been upfront about what information they gathered, but it all the way was down to identifying when someone got out of a car. So there are great algorithms built into the phone to know when you get out of the car just from movement and motion, and probably a little bit from the microphone use.
Wow. Wow. Well, that qualifies as tracking, right?
It absolutely qualifies as tracking, and I'm sure that if you went through all the legal information about your phone, it probably would say in there, yes, you agree to be tracked.
Yeah.
And this also includes apps that you put on your phone. There are cases out there where Facebook has identified that a couple of people were in the same vicinity as each other and starts showing ads based upon just that. So I don't trust any of the apps on my phone, and I don't trust my phone. And as a matter of fact, the only way to really help make sure that it's private is to stick it in a bag and just stick it away. Then it can't quite understand what's going on to the same degree. But again, realize that what you think is your phone is actually, you've given over a lot of your privacy to someone else.
Wow.
For convenience.
Yes. Yeah. And that's frightening. And folks, you need to understand what Shan is talking about here. That device that we many of us believe that we cannot live without. And you know what, Shan? I'm old enough to remember the days before cell phones. Before cell phones. Now, some of our listeners may be thinking, what are you, 110? It's like, no, cell phones haven't been around that long, but they've really advanced in the technology from going back to the days of the little flip phones when all you could do is receive a call. There was no such thing as text messaging, and those things have really developed. I can't even imagine the technology that they're going to have in those things in another 5 years. I think it's actually kind of frightening.
It is quite frightening. And if you think about it, you realize that they can actually determine, just based upon location services, they can determine who you're with, who you're talking to, how long you were together, all these things. Sometimes it's best just to leave your phone at home and go places without it, because then, you know, I hate to use the term Big Brother because it's overused, but to a degree it's true, and it can be used against you in many cases. There's very few cases where it will actually be used to benefit you,
yeah,
other than just your convenience features.
Yes.
Now, thankfully, there are some groups out there that are trying to increase the privacy and security of phones. So we've got a couple of projects out there, and I'm watching them and I'm tracking them. And where what I'm working on now is to try to install a new operating system on my phone that gets rid of all those surveillance services and makes it really back to being my phone. And there's Lineage OS and Copperhead OS, but they really take a real techie to go ahead and put them onto their phone. At one time I ran predecessor to Lineage OS, which is CyanogenMod at the time, and that helped me get rid of all the tracking services. And now I'm ready to try doing that again. But I still have all the tracking services are available on my phone today. So,
well, when you get that,
it's quite a lot of work is the problem.
Yes.
It becomes a lot of work to get your privacy back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, but well, let me say this before I forget and move on. When you get that figured out, I want to have a conversation with you because I want you to help me on my phone.
That sounds, well, there is one thing you can do today.
Okay.
And this is something that anybody can do. There is an app out there called Signal.
Signal, okay.
S-I-G-N-A-L. Yep, like I'm getting a signal from the radio tower.
Yep.
So that application allows you to send and receive from other Signal users encrypted messages. That means that when the wife and I text, and by the way, it works both on iPhone and Android. When my wife and I, she's on iPhone and I'm on Android, when we text, it's private. It is all encrypted communication, and it's private. So I can say whatever I want to her without some Big Brother person misunderstanding what I am saying to her.
Nice. Okay, so that's Signal. So you can search that. Search for that app, folks, called Signal, S-I-G-N-A-L. I'm gonna look for it when we're finished chatting, Chan. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Well, all of this.
By the way, Mike, hold on one second, though.
Yeah.
So the biggest, Google is huge, and so when you use a service like Gmail, you're telling them, hey, Google, you have the right to rummage through all my mail,
yep,
and see what I'm up to. So I also encourage people, where possible, to get off of Gmail and do a more private or more secure solution, one of which is called Proton Mail. And they're out of, I believe, Switzerland, and it allows you to have a more private, more encrypted capability, and you are not signing over the rights to look through all your mail to some third party.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's good to know. Proton Mail, folks. And I know of another one out there Catherine Albrecht is working with. I think it's called Start Page or Start Mail. Start Mail, Start Page. So one is for your email and the other is for your web browser. I think that's Start Page, but anyway, what I was going to say, Shan, is that what we're talking about, and I agree with you, this the phrase, the word, the term, Big Brother, is overused, but it is still applicable. But what we're talking about here, folks, is technocracy. We're talking about technocracy. And I like referring people to books on the subject, especially to folks that have done extensive research. They're very well versed in it. You might call them an expert on it. I would highly recommend Patrick Wood's book, Technocracy Rising. What Shannon and I have been talking about these last 10 minutes or so really is a put. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. It didn't just evolve this way. This has been a very purposeful drive to capture information. Information, data is power. It's money. It's leverage. It's increasingly being used by governments, politicians, and might I add, folks that don't have your best interests at heart. Technocracy is really the driving force behind all of this, and what it boils down to is tyranny and totalitarianism. The new currency for the globalists and the new world order is information and data. If they can control that, then they can control people. That's the concept. What do you think, Shan?
I agree completely, and there's a lot of discussion about how Google was started, and I can tell you, if you can get people to tell you what people tell Google in their searches, you know exactly what they're thinking. So absolutely, this is a web of technology that allows the powers that be to understand what we're thinking, how we're behaving, and perhaps even predict what you or I might do before we do it.
Well, there's a subject, Shan. You've just opened the door, because there's a lot of conversation. I know you've been keeping track of this too. There's a lot of conversation out there about this predictive software, predictive programs, especially as it relates to crime. This is almost surreal, because Hollywood's been making movies about this kind of stuff for a long time. Now, I'm someone who happens to believe that Hollywood gets fed information, and they kind of signal or broadcast what's going on behind the scenes before it's actually revealed. So I think that there's already software being developed based on all this information that's being gathered, and I think they're already doing their trial runs on criminals already with this information. What do you think?
I would agree completely. The technology is out there. I've got a high-tech background. It's easy to take all this information and start mining it and find trends, whether it's individual trends or group trends, and actually to take it one step further, to actually modify people's behavior by carefully crafting what they see in, for instance, a Facebook feed. So you could actually take somebody that you think has got one view, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of people on their Facebook feed seem to have the opposite view, and people, the way they are, a lot of people are like, well, I guess everybody else thinks that this is okay, so I guess it's okay. So I think you could actually get way down into behavior modification for people by first taking the data that they're putting out there, and making freely available there to the companies that they use. Second, mining that data for predictive trends. And then third, feeding them selectively certain information that will potentially modify their behavior, which could be used for good behavior modification or bad.
Yes, absolutely. Shan, something I've been thinking about too a lot recently, and let me just say this for you, and I'll be sending you a copy. For sure, but I am just finishing up a book that I'm writing, and it deals with the church, and it deals with current issues and what we as believers need to be doing in these days. And one of the things that has occurred to me in this technological country and really world that we now live in, with all these advances and the things that I mean, my goodness. I remember as a kid when I would watch George Jetson, you know, the cartoon, and I would think, wow, that'd be really something if any of that could ever happen. Well, we're seeing this kind of stuff, and in fact, we've already surpassed George Jetson and his family in technology. But something that's come to my mind, and I've been thinking a lot about, Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 2, and he talks about the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, the prince of the power of the air. Now we know that that's our enemy. That's the old serpent, the old dragon, Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air. But isn't it amazing now that all of this technology, it's all tied into transmissions through the air, into space, back to Earth, and all these receiving stations. It's almost like he is rolling out this end times plan where he thinks he's going to win this victory. The prince of the power of the air is using technocracy and technology to enslave the people of the world, or am I overstating the case?
Wow. I pulled up the verses you were talking, and that seems to hit right onto it. You are correct. There is a lot of, you know, the air started with a lot of these broadcasts and the programming that we have experienced, you know, in the 1900s, and now it is our cell phones and the internet and all this stuff. Boy, I don't know how I missed that verse in the past, so I thank you for calling my attention to it.
Well, it's you know, when you think about this stuff, Shannon, one thing leads to another. It's of course it's the Holy Spirit that gives you some insight and helps you to see application. But we know what's coming in the end. We know that Christ is returning, and he's going to return, and he's going to return soon, in my opinion. And so that really makes it incumbent upon us, his followers, his disciples, to really be pressing the gospel that it is only Christ that saves. There's no other name given among men under heaven by which we may be saved. The day is here, and we need to be working in the day. The night is coming when no man will work, the Bible says. And so I want to encourage people to just be faithful wherever the Lord has planted you. And when he places people in your path, be faithful to share Jesus. And listen, don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful. Just ask, do you know Christ in saving faith? That's one of the things that I think the church really needs to be pressing into our culture today. Even in the midst of all of this violence and ugliness and animosity and cruelty, and listen, the gospel shines brightest when it's the darkest. And I would encourage people to just continue in steadfastness to share the gospel with people. And I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart too, Shan.
Well, amen. Yes, and I am thankful for any opportunity that we have to be a light to people, or to even pray with them or for them. I love it when people reach out to us and say, hey, you know what, I'm a customer struggling with this or whatever. I think that's a real blessing for me.
Yeah. So there's your opportunity, folks. If you contact Shan, you want to a custom holster, but you also have some prayer requests that include the prayer requests, and I'll tell you, Shan and his wife will be faithful to pray for you. I know that I'm blessed when people contact me with prayer requests, and of course that's first and primary importance for us as as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we honor Him in everything that we do. And Shan, I am so blessed to call you a brother and my friend, and I thank you for joining me on Soaring Eagle Radio. And I'll give you the last word. Anything you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, there's one thing, and you know, Soaring Eagle listeners, I think all of you are great warriors for Christ. I don't think you'd be listening to Mike if you weren't, at the very least, touched by the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit to say, hey, you know what, maybe Mike's got something to say to me. So I want to provide a coupon for any of the Soaring Eagle listeners that want to buy something from us. And I'm not here primarily because to sell the wares, but 10% for anything from our store. Just use the three letters, S-E-R, for Soaring Eagle Radio, at checkout, and we'll give people 10% off. But of course, if anybody has questions or concerns or wants to know how to better carry a pistol, give me a call or shoot me an email. Sometimes I'm more responsive in email than in phone, and we'll get you taken care of.
Shan, thank you so much for that. That's a wonderful and kind gesture. So folks, go to works.com. WERKZ.com, and when you check out, make sure that you enter the code SER for 10% off of your purchase. And I just want to also say that I've watched videos that you've done, Shan, on shooting and correct handling and posture and all that stuff. Are those videos still available someplace?
They might be on YouTube. I don't know. I do have some good trainer friends that I would recommend people watch that are probably better on all of that than I am.
Okay.
But so we could talk about that later, or maybe give some references in the show notes.
Okay, sure. Yep, that'd be great. All right. Well, blessings to you, to your bride, to your family, and God's favor upon your business, and continue to walk strong, brother. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Mike. Be blessed.
God bless you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, PastorMike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.